Now, I don't know who started saying it first, but there's no denying that Lucas and I speak like one another. As dear friends from seminary, when Lucas and I get together, we naturally slip into a shared repertoire of jokes that speak to the deep truths of our lives, as well as sharing our lives in such a way that elicits peals of laughter from us both. Not only have we adopted a similar vocabulary, but also a shared cadence to the way that we speak, which, depending on how it goes, will indicate to the other person how it is that they ought to respond to what has just been said. Now, like I said, I don't know which lines were introduced by whom, but this back and forth that we engage in has only become more confident in the way that we share in it, what it is that we are supposed to say to one another the more time that we share with one another. As time passes, this language of our friendship becomes all the more certain and all the more set. We embark upon a new series today in which we will follow the path of prayer. When we embarked upon a series of sermons regarding under-preached topics last fall, my installment on prayer raised the most questions and left vast unexplored vistas. This series is a sort of spiritual successor to that initial exploration. And besides, how many of us perhaps have the best intentions to spend more time in prayer than we do? And perhaps we don't spend this time in prayer because we find our prayer lives dull and uninspiring. So can we learn to pray more effectively, more faithfully, more intimately? However, before we can explore these avenues of thought and experience with prayer, it is best to begin with what may be the most difficult and important question that we are going to tackle with one another. What is prayer? At first, this may sound like a simple, perhaps even silly question. We've been taught how to pray from our childhoods. We've been praying throughout this service, and some of us perhaps pray every day. And yet, when the question is put to us, I imagine that it would be difficult to truly pin down a satisfactory explanation to what prayer is. Some will say that prayer is a way to ask God for things, or perhaps it's a vehicle to sing praise, or maybe it's a way that we center ourselves. All of these have verses of scriptural support to back them up, yet none of them can capture the full glory of prayer. After all, our passage from 1 Thessalonians enjoins us to pray without ceasing. And how can we do this in any conscious or meaningful way? So again, what is prayer? This difficulty in defining prayer, it shouldn't surprise us, as when we turn to Scripture, we find the Bible telling us to whom our prayers are to be directed, affirming certain postures and practices within prayer, and giving us examples of prayer such as in the psalm that we heard today, yet never offers us a clear definition of what prayer is. So how do we begin to answer the question laid out this morning? While it may seem obvious to us today, the most certain claim that we can make about prayer based upon the Bible is that the Lord God is to be the sole audience of our prayers. This is why we have passages like Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 6 and 7 and chapter 6 verses 4 and 5. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Yes, the ancients, they had to discern which deity was owed their prayer and in what way and at what time. While we might never pray to Baal, Athena, or Odin, there is also no guarantee that when we pray using that three-letter word, G-O-D, that we're truly praying to the God of the cosmos, revealed as the one who frees slaves from Egypt. This requires that we know God through Scripture and, more importantly, through God's Son. And in order to do that, we must follow the New Testament injunction to pray in Jesus' name. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Yes, God is the one who freed captives, but God is also the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And by praying in Jesus' name, this doesn't mean that we simply tack on Christ at the end of our prayers, but rather that we are praying within Jesus' character and out of assurance that God's promises to us will be fulfilled because of God's faithfulness witnessed in raising Jesus from the dead. Much like how we have just explored throughout 1 John, our prayers in Jesus' name will be in accordance with what he reveals about the sacrificial love of God. To pray in Jesus' name is to align ourselves with Jesus' character and with Jesus' humanity. Finally, Scripture reveals to us that we pray to the God who not only frees captives and raises Jesus from the dead, but also to the God who sends us the Holy Spirit. The movement of God's work in the cosmos is known through the Spirit's presence in us, showing us that prayer is actually going on all around us all the time, even when we are not actively participating within it. Think of Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Because of the Spirit, we can join in the prayer available to us through Jesus' name, made to the sole God of the cosmos. So what does the triune nature of God, the one to whom we offer our prayers, what does this nature teach us about prayer itself? I believe that God's nature shows us that prayer is less about us and it is more about God. Namely, God's character, God's initiative, and God's activity. Prayer begins in God, by way of God, and it is through God. We are able to enter into prayer because it is already something that is occurring within God's self all the time for the sake of the world, for the sake of freeing captives, raising to new life, and petitioning through the Spirit. Our ability to pray, it is a gift from God. Our prayer is entering into God's activity for the sake of the world. Whether or not this description of prayer's origin and energy sounds foreign to you, we may all be left wondering what role is left to us humans if God is the initiator, the focus, and the fulfillment of prayer. Why should we pray at all if God is the whole of prayer? Or maybe I've just answered my own question. Perhaps we pray for the sake of meeting God and what God is accomplishing. We pray not for what we can get from God, but rather in order to receive God, God's self. We pray because we are assured to encounter God in prayer. Following the lead of the renowned Presbyterian pastor George Buttrick, I believe that we can finally say this: prayer is friendship with God. Indeed, I'll go a step further. Prayer is encounter through which we become friends with God. Now, when I talk about friendship, I do not mean mere acquaintance. God isn't simply a buddy that we go to a ball game with or a pal with whom we can throw back a couple of beers. No, deep soul friendship is an alignment of interest and desire, a development of shared character and shared passion. So when we enter into prayer and encounter God's activity for blessing the world through Son and Spirit, we become acquainted with God's will, activity, and passion. The more time that we spend with God this way, the more that we will become like God, the deeper our friendship will become. We will gradually come to want what God wants. We will love whom God loves, and we will hope as God hopes. God's prayer through the Spirit is always going on all around us, and so it is incumbent upon us to enter into God's prayer, to heed God's invitation, to meet with us, and to become our friend. As Saint Augustine says, true whole prayer is nothing but love. And this is a faithful word, for true whole prayer is nothing but meeting with God as our friend. And since prayer is an invitation to meet with God and to develop friendship with God, we are encouraged to speak honestly with God. The Psalms as a whole, and particularly the prayer that we have heard today in chapter 51, show us how God wants to meet with us as we are. Prayer is a place where our hopes, our anxieties, and our loves and hates might come into the presence of the God of the cosmos. However much as the poet is changed by the end of the 51st Psalm, so too are we converted through our ongoing friendship with God. We bring our disquiet into prayer, but hopefully we leave with peace. The spiritual writer Richard Foster speaks to this truth. To pray is to change. This is a great grace. How good of God to provide a path whereby our lives can be taken over by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Namely, the change that we experience is becoming more like our friend through spending time with God in prayer. This is in a way like the shared language developed with my seminary friend, Lucas. As we've spent more time together, our language and interests have intersected in such a way that we both speak freely to one another. Now, on first glance, it might appear as though one of us is aping the other, or that perhaps one is suppressing what we really want to say in order to appease the other. However, this is the furthest thing from the truth. As we've spent time together, we've become more like one another. We both take joy in our similarity rather than feeling threatened by a loss of identity. We can still honestly be ourselves. It's just that each individual self is starting to look more and more like the other person. This is our hope for prayer. We hope that our true self will become God's friend who looks more and more like God through our encounters in prayer. That is, our honesty in prayer helps us to change and shape us into a people who are responsive to God's desire for activity within our world. As we pray, we attune our interests to our true friend who wants us, me individually, us as Valmont, us as the world, to be healthy and whole. This will mean that we too will want for ourselves and for all people to be healthy and whole, since this is friendship with God. This is all the world living into God's prayer, being eternally groaned by the Holy Spirit. This is all the promises of the Father finding their yes in Jesus' new life. This is friendship with God. And so how might we begin to cultivate this life of encountering God in friendship? Well, throughout the rest of this series, we will explore different aspects of prayer to help us to become a people who regularly and intentionally enter into God's prayer for the world. But as for this week, I would encourage you each day to think of a person in your life and lift them up to God. Pray what you honestly think and feel about this person. How you love them, how you've been hurt by them, how you're disappointed by them, what you want for them. And then once you have voiced the full weight of your feelings, earnestly ask God what God desires for them and how God views them. Ask God to convert your thoughts and your desires for that person to be in line with God's plans for their healing and wholeness. Then go and do everything within your power to bless that person, knowing that God desires friendship with them as God desires friendship with you. You may want to start with a person it is easy to pray for, and then work your way up throughout the week to praying for an adversary by the time we join together next Sunday. We've taken a very small step today into the awe-inspiring world of prayer. However, I hope that God's invitation for friendship is a strong motivator to cultivate a life of prayer. May you know the God who is revealed through liberating captives, raising Jesus from the dead, and sending the Holy Spirit. May you enter into God's constant prayer for this world, thus being changed in order to share in God's passion. May you become a person of prayer who lives in friendship with God. Amen.